Turn this morning in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 10. Very briefly this morning, a message now from God's Word. Mark chapter 10, let me begin reading at verse number 46 and read through verse number 52. Mark 10, verse number 46. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the presentation from Brother Gary, the Gideons, and the opportunity, Lord, to be a part of getting God's Word out into the hands of lost people. And we thank you for that. Bless now the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he and his disciples passed through a city by the name of Jericho. You might be interested to know that the word Jericho means to smell, or it means a place of fragrance. A place of fragrance. It was a city that geographically at that time, it abounded in many fragrant plants like roses and balsam and cypress. Honey was found there at that time also in abundance. And travelers passing through Jericho were surrounded by many fragrant smells. It was a city that lived up to its name. But here in this passage of Scripture, there would be a fragrance in Jericho on this day that had never been there before. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, was passing through. And as he did, he demonstrated the great fragrance of his glory and his grace, especially in the life of this man who is blind. It's been said that no one is as blind as he who will not see. Sadly, that's the case today with millions of people. Many people today spiritually are blind. They're spiritually blinded. Bartimaeus could not see physically, and lost sinners cannot see spiritually. The lost have heart blindness. We're told in the book of Ephesians, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Ephesians 4:18. Very quickly this morning, I'd like to answer three questions from this text. The question why, the question whom, and the question what. The first question why. Why did Jesus come to Bartimaeus? If you look at verse number 45 of this same chapter, you see the reason. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. That verse is a central statement that flashes like a gem. Mark presents him as the servant. The word ransom, what a precious word. You know what the word means? Ransom means simply this, price paid for the redemption of captives. Price paid for the redemption of captives. Jesus came to a blind man for the same reason that he came to others. Jesus came to that blind man for the same reason he came to me. He came to you that have been saved. He came to that blind man for the same reason he came to Nicodemus, who was a religious man but lost without God in John chapter 3. He came to Bartimaeus for the same reason he came to the woman at the well. And before the account was through, she drank living water. He came to Bartimaeus for the same reason he came to the man of the Gadarenes, who was controlled and possessed by demons in Mark chapter 5. But thank God, when the dust settles and the account closes, that man is restored in his right mind, clothed and desiring to follow Jesus Christ. Why did he come? Jesus came to Bartimaeus for the same reason he came to the tree that had a little short guy by the name of Zacchaeus perched in the top of that tree. And Jesus said, come down, I must abide in your house. His path, I'm talking about the path of Christ, his path would lead to the cross. And his victory on the cross made possible the miracles along the way. You stop and think about that for just a moment. If Jesus would have met defeat on the cross, this blind man would have died blind. If Jesus would have met defeat on the cross, all other encounters with him along the way would have been no more than contacts. If Jesus would have suffered defeat on Calvary, Lazarus would have stayed in his grave clothes. The lame man would have kept his crutches. The lad's lunch would have been refused. And in fact, the Bible would be no better than any other book if Jesus met defeat at Calvary. But oh, thank God, he was free. He was able to give his life as a ransom price because he's a perfect God and the perfect man. Because he could take care of the sin debt at Calvary, he could also heal the blind. He could also raise the dead. He could also give the lame back the ability to walk again. His victory at Calvary would make possible all of the miracles that he ever would perform. You think about it for just a moment. If Jesus would have failed at Calvary, this blind man would have remained blind. But Calvary covers it all. The question, why did Jesus come to Bartimaeus? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give his life a ransom. That's why. The second question is, whom did he meet? Why did he come? Well, whom did he meet? He met a blind man. This blind man could not see, but this blind man could speak. He couldn't draw near with his feet, but he could draw near with his heart. His cry of faith made the Son of God stand still. Somebody said that Joshua made the moon stand still, but the cry of an anxious soul will make the sun stand still. And oh, how true that is. This blind man made a conclusion that day that this one was a son of David. Have you ever wondered how the blind man, Bartimaeus, knew that he was a son of David? Well, think about it for just a moment. He had heard, no doubt, as he sat by the wayside, as he listened to travelers moving in and out, he had no doubt heard of the previous miracles that Jesus had performed. As he sat by the wayside, the travelers must have talked about what Jesus had been doing. And Bartimaeus, no doubt, believed that Jesus could do the same for him that he had done for others. And by the way, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. That song is certainly right on spot, isn't it? His conclusion here, he makes a conclusion. This one coming is a son of David. Then he makes a cry. He cries out. He wanted to be heard. He wanted to be heard. He was probably thinking something that I wish more people would think today. He was probably thinking that this might be the only opportunity to be helped. I believe that many today need to cry out that way. I believe this morning in this church service, if you're unsaved, you need to cry out in desperation. You need to realize the severity of the hour. You need to understand today that Jesus is passing by today, but you may not have another opportunity. And I believe that many people today unfortunately try to console themselves in the haven of a church. But that the people don't realize that the church could very well only intensify a person's guilt and accountability, for the rejection of the Word of God in gospel preaching churches adds to accountability and it adds to grief. Someone one time said if they had a choice where to die and go to hell, they would much rather die and go to hell from the Congo than to die and go to hell from a gospel preaching church where the Bible is being preached and people hear the truth and reject that truth and die without Jesus Christ. To whom much is given, much will be required. While they cried out, they charged him to hold his peace. They charged him to hold his peace. His disciples, no doubt, maybe they were thinking that this man was too noisy. He was hindering the Lord's words and mission. But Jesus made it clear that that was his mission. You see, what I love about my Savior is the fact that he was never too busy, never too involved, but what he wouldn't still take time to deal with the sinner. I'm glad he took time to deal with me, aren't you? Amen. It is a sad fact that there are interferences, though, when the Word of God is given. There all of the time will be interferences. I've told you this story, but I don't mind repeating it because it does kind of illustrate my point. I remember years ago, me and this guy in a church down in Rockwell went out on visitation. We went into a home. We were sitting there witnessing to the person who had my Bible open and attempting to lead this man to the Lord. And about the time I was talking, a child came out of the back room and had a little cage. And that child had a bird in that cage. It was a parrot. And that child said, "Daddy, do you mind if I open the cage?" And I'm in the room, have my Bible open, witnessing to them. And that bird makes a solo around that room. And it walked around the room and sit down right on the top of my head. And I'm sitting there with my Bible open. "Sir, do you realize the Bible says you're a sinner? All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Sir, do you realize the Bible says the wages of sin is death?" And here sat that bird on the top of my head, picking. I was afraid that bird's going to fly off with my hair. You talking about an interference. Some of you get that and some of you don't. Those that don't get it, just hope you never get it. You know, but in this passage of Scripture, I must point out something to you. It is amazing how the precious Word of God is totally, right down to every letter, intact. Nothing is out of order. Let me show you something quickly. Verse number 46, they came. Underscore the word came. Verse 46. Verse number 47, another C word. He began to cry. The word cry, underscore that. Verse number 48, and many charged. There's another C word, charged him. Underscore charged. Verse number 45, and Jesus stood still and commanded. Another C word, commanded. Same verse, be of good comfort. Another C word. He calleth thee. Another C word. Verse number 50, and he casting away. Another C word. I believe all of those words are in order. It starts out, Jesus came. It develops into the man crying. We see interference. Some charged him. But Jesus said, commanded him to be called. And then, comfort. What a natural order it is when you come to Christ. Casting away his garments. I'll tell you, when a sinner gets saved, the old garment of sin is casted aside. And a person's clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That prodigal in the far country, when he came home, one of the things that he was blessed with was the father put a coat around him. If that doesn't picture what happens when a sinner comes to Christ, you don't find it anywhere. Well, quickly and finally this morning, why did he come? Whom did he deal with? And finally, what did he do? I believe that Jesus saved him and healed him. Verse number 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He was doubly blessed. But let me be quick to point out this morning, the greatest blessing was not when he received his physical sight. The greatest blessing was when he received his spiritual sight. Salvation is even better than being physically healed. And that constituted the greatest miracle that occurred. Bartimaeus, by the way, had to acknowledge his need to trust the Lord, because verse number 51 says, Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? He puts him on the spot. What do you want me to do unto you? Sinner has to admit they're a sinner. We have to be willing to admit we need God's grace, because God will not impose himself upon us. He works with through our will. He works within and through our will. You know, a verse says, ye will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come. Think about that. They could have, but he said, you will not come. But now, here we see, again, Bartimaeus, he received salvation, he received sight. A little boy, one day, got his hand caught in a vase. Little boy was trying to pull his hand out the vase, and it wouldn't come out. So a man came up to where he was and took something and broke the vase and pulled the little boy's hand out, but he noticed the little boy's finch was clenched. And the little boy opened his fist, and there was a nickel. The only reason why he couldn't pull his hand out of the vase was he had his hand clenched around a nickel. Here's a point I want to make this morning. Many people will not come to Christ because they have their hands clutched around sin. There's something they're holding on to. There's something that's keeping them from being saved. There's not a sin on the face of this earth worth losing your soul over. Nothing. Nothing on this earth is worth losing your soul over. Some say, I can't quit this. I can't quit that. I can't quit this. Come to Jesus Christ. Let Him help you. But don't say you can't come. Come to Him. That, the first thing, the only thing a sinner can do is come to Him. And He'll take care of the other things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You'll realize that once you get saved, but it's a hard time sometimes convincing a lost person. They think, I've got to give up this, got to give up that, got to give up that. No, get in the boat. Get in the life raft. And God will help you with those things. He was clenching. What did God do for this man? You know, another quick illustration. A communist and a Christian one day sitting on a bench. And a beggar came by, wearing rags. The communist looked at the Christian. He said, Communism could put a new suit on that man. And the Christian looked at the communist and said to him, he said, Jesus Christ can put a new man in that suit. Amen. Jesus told, here's what I like, he told Bartimaeus, well, actually, Jesus said, go thy way. But now catch this. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus said, go thy way. But Bartimaeus' way now was the way that Christ went. And oh, I'm telling you this morning that when salvation comes into a person's heart and life, there will be a desire to follow the Lord. You know, we don't need to turn over a new leaf. We don't need to get religion. We need for Jesus to put a new man in the suit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This morning, I trust if you're here, like Bartimaeus in a spiritual way, you'll let God give your spiritual sight back, and you'll go out of here this morning a new person in Christ Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.